Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what it is.
Let's do that hockey.
Yes, sir.
And the Ballers win. Helena is no longer undefeated.
Welcome, everybody, to the second episode of Montana Mondays. This is a segment where we talk about hockey throughout the state of Montana, and this is brought to you all by World Hockey Report. Dayton, you're with me today. How's it going?
I am. I'm here. I missed last week. I'm sorry. It's going good. I'm ready to talk about some Montana hockey.
Yes, sir. Well, I am Seth Hamilton. I'm the host of the segment. Dayton Smith is going to be my co-host. Dayton, how was your weekend and what did you do?
Oh, my weekend was good. I got to watch the Ice Dogs. They were in town playing the Bighorns. We'll talk about that more in depth later, but it was a great game. Great game, great weekend. Other than that, my parents were in town, so it was nice to see them. And we got to watch the Bobcats beat the who did they play? Idaho, the football team. So that was good.
Were you there?
I was there.
You were there?
No, I was in person. This was right down the street, you know. So,
oh yeah, thanks. Yeah. I watched that game on television.
It seemed pretty packed there. Packed?
No, it seemed pretty packed. Like there was like 21,000 people or something there.
It was pretty. There was a lot of people. It was homecoming, so.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. Well, let's get into hockey, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's what we're here for. For our agenda on this episode, we had some questions about it. People were confused. We're going to talk about the drama related to University of Providence. That's going to be a good story. Then we'll have scores in ACHA, scores in NA3HL, three stars of the week, and then upcoming games with our predictions. This is probably going to be the biggest weekend for college hockey. We got one of the best rivalries, I think, throughout the country right now. So
really, the country.
I guarantee you, when you know that college hockey podcast comes out, I guarantee you they're gonna have us as the game of the week.
Oh yeah, okay.
Tell you what the game of the week will be.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Can't wait.
Oh yeah, but let's talk University of Providence hockey.
UP.
University of Providence is in Great Falls, Montana. Obviously, they have a junior team, Great Falls Americans there. It's a private Catholic university, and it previously had one of the best ACHA programs in the entire country. And it was partly because the school was able to offer scholarships, which brought in some pretty good players. It was coached by Jeff Heimel. In the first year of the team, you know, they went 10-12-1. Which is just under 500, which is fairly good for a good year or for the first year, especially with the kind of teams that they played too.
Right. So, well, and that was back in 2018, 2019.
Yep. I mean, they were playing Dakota College was one of the better teams.
Right.
You know, Williston State was competitive. Montana State was basically just coming up that year and becoming a really competitive program. So it was a tough year to come into. But
did they play UMary that year?
UMary was not a team yet, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as developed. I think they were kind of a newer program too.
Gotcha.
I'm also talking out of my rear end, but I'm gonna be honest. I think I'm right there, but.
Well, confidence. I have confidence.
But 2019-2020 season, best season they had, in my opinion. They went 22-8-2. They had a fully loaded roster. All roster spots were filled. Team was dominant. And they looked like they were on their way to a national championship. And speaking of which, the only problem was they had to face UMary. UMary is the current back-to-back ACHA D2 champions. And this is how big of a game we're talking. This is the regional final. All right. And Providence beat them 3-2 and looked like the favorites heading into nationals. I mean, that is a good team that they beat. But 2019-2020.
Yeah, we know what happened.
Oh, you know what happened. COVID canceled the 2020 ACHA National Tournament, and that really hurt this team, don't you think?
Yeah, I think this was like the downfall because the number of players on the roster kept dwindling because there was a lack of recruitment, and it really shouldn't be that hard when college, you know, offers scholarships and it's known for being a nationally competitive program, especially, you know, well, within the first one or two years of its inception. But anyway, we've talked to some folks there over at University of Providence. My brother actually was over there for played for a season and a half or so. But on one of our episodes, we found it was a lack of funding, a commitment and drive, and just a weird combination of the three.
Yeah, and last season, the Argos actually did qualify for nationals. They won the regional tournament again. The only problem was they only had 15 skaters, and mostly all of them are made up of seniors. I mean, this is the fourth year of the program. All of them are going to be graduating. So it was kind of like this was the year.
Right.
And honestly, they most likely would have been the best team next to UMary if they would have just had some sort of players in the bottom six to eat up minutes for those top guys, because the top guys were so good for this team. And the problem was they just didn't have a full roster. And it's kind of frustrating because, you know, you and I, we were pretty big fans of Providence, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Your brother played for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked that there was another team other than MSU. They had really cool jerseys, a cool logo. I thought they had great colors. They were different.
Mm-hmm.
They
were good. And, just everything about the program was sweet, because the first year everyone was so excited just around the school. There's a hockey team, all, you know, the soccer team and volleyball team, they all went and, you know, watched every game at home and got rowdy and whatnot. But then I don't know, it just seemed like it died down, and then they couldn't get players recruited, and so they ended up with a shortened bench last season, which I think really screwed them out of being competitive. And I think it really just bummed out a lot of the guys on the team. So,
well, it was a great group of guys too.
Oh man. My brother is Cody Hendrickson, I think, or someone on the team that they recently just got a dog. My brother's actually watching his dog.
Nice.
But anyway,
here's the other thing too, is this is where it gets interesting,
right? Yeah,
so after last year, a bunch of seniors they ship off, they graduate, that's mm-hmm. what happens,
right?
And we were just kind of, you know, waiting to hear some stuff. You know, the Grizz were announcing, you know, they were signing players. MSU, we knew that they didn't really need to sign players. This team, you know, we were kind of waiting for something to come out. Nothing happened for like 3 months, right?
Like just no news.
Yeah, it was really weird. And then all of a sudden, head coach Jeff Heimel resigned as the head coach. And he basically left this program to fend for themselves. And to this day, we still don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. I'm guessing it's frustrating because I think the school is probably just like, well, because I don't know how all that works, if they have to have a certain amount of years under contract, or if there's even a contract. I'm not qualified to speak on that stuff, but where was I going with that?
No, that's cool. We have talked about this a lot. I mean, we've had probably 4 or 5 episodes on 406 on the Fly where we discussed this, mm-hmm. and we expressed our dislike in the, you know, commitment of the program by obviously the school, the coach, and just everything else. Because, I mean, the players really deserved better.
Oh, 100%. Like, and it just seemed like no one really cared about them. The school. I don't know, the coaches, the other, you know, students, peers. It was weird. It just seemed like they sort of like turned an eye, you know, turned their heads and was like, you know, we don't, if you guys disappear, that's fine. Kind of, I don't, that's sort of the vibes
It was very strange. And I don't know if you mentioned this already, but they do have games scheduled this year.
I didn't mention it, but semester. Yeah.
Florida Gulf Coast was supposed to fly them out this year. Like, because Florida Gulf Coast is one of the best teams, you know, top programs for ACHA.
Yeah,
there are teams who fly other teams out. So
right. Well, they had a close in Nationals last year. For Florida Gulf Coast, I think, ended up beating them. So I think they, anyway, made connections with them. But yeah, so that, we'll see if that happens. I don't know. But
yeah, it was, I don't know really what's going on. And supposedly they have games against MSU and against the Grizz. Still have no idea what's going on. So, because yeah, I've been talking with them and they still don't know what's going on. So,
yeah, I don't know. It just sucks because it was a smaller school, you know, wasn't Montana State or University of Montana. So it was cooler to get branch out and get some depth from this, from a Montana town like Great Falls and a smaller school like UP. But yeah, just
seemed like a hockey school.
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, there's not I don't know how much time you've spent in Great Falls, but I'm not a huge fan of the town itself. That there's some nice stuff there. You know, they have the Shields and the pizza place, I think. But anyway, so that's what I got to say about Great Falls.
That's what I have too. We have mentioned it a lot on our 406 on the Fly podcast. So it's kind of just getting repetitive, getting old, but it's like a lot of drama here.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just sucks to see it end. And that's kind of all I have for, you know what I mean? Like it's really problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much like, yeah. So,
it could have been great. Is what it I'm could have.
The potential was unbelievable.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm gonna move on. Let's do scores of the ACHA from this past weekend. Let's start off with the Grizz. Dayton, you want to take it away?
Yes, Montana Grizzlies out of Missoula. They stayed undefeated after this weekend with a 3-0 record, and they beat Western Washington 10-2 on Friday and then 8-0 on Saturday. Two blowout wins again for the Grizz. And one thing that's extremely dangerous about this Grizz team is their power play. 5 power play goals Friday, 4 on Saturday. Like that's last crazy. Week. Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah, I don't know. Seth, did you watch these games?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of tough because they're really adjusting stuff for the Grizz right now. They got new camera, new announcer. Speaking of new announcer, last episode, I lost track of who that announcer was for the Grizz. I did talk to Cody. It was John Wall. It's a very easy name to like. It's an easy name to remember. Also an easy name to lose track of because John Wall is a very generic, you know what I mean? Well, like
two very basic names.
Yeah. So I lost track of it, got it. He's not doing the Grizz hockey announcing anymore. It's kind of sad to see. I really like John Wall.
Yeah. Do you know why? Because he did that for a few years, right?
He's been a long time.
Yeah.
Long time. I mean, he was doing the Maulers back in the day.
Right.
So
he just retired or?
Must have. I mean, it kind of sucks. He had such a good voice and he was very energetic. And yeah.
Yeah, especially with the, you would think you'd want to stick around since the Grizz are, you know.
I mean, he could have moved too. I mean, I don't know. I don't keep tabs on him.
But, true.
But yeah, really unfortunate because he was a great announcer. But yeah, the cool thing about the Grizz, honestly, I don't really have anything like cool. It's kind of two blowout wins for them. With a 10-2 win and an 8-0 win. But, you know, I guess what's kind of cool for the Grizz, obviously we all know they have a light show, you know, cool goal horn, all that sort of thing. But now they're really getting the video production up. You know, they have multiple cameras now. They have a new scoreboard that's like on the bottom. It looks like, you know, it looks like Bally Sports, where it covers up the whole, you know, bottom portion of the the TV. Scoreboard. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, you get scored. Do you get scores from Bozeman too?
No, no, you don't get scores and advertisements and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a pretty big scoreboard now. It's not just like kind of hidden on the top left. But, you know, this is cool stuff. I mean, this is like production for them and, you know, good for them. It is kind of cool sometimes to have a different camera angle. I know MSU is trying to do that, but they're having problems figuring out technical stuff.
Sure.
They asked me one day about it, and I was like, I can't help you.
Yeah. I wouldn't know the first thing about that. Yeah,
they're trying to, like, I think it was, like, see if a GoPro can hook up to Bluetooth and use it as a camera or something. I don't know. It's out of my pay grade. But, yeah.
But they're trying new stuff, though, which is sweet.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what I think Missoula does different compared to anyone else in Montana, is they put a lot of time and effort into their ring. You're shaking your head. What?
Oh man, you're really throwing Helena under the bus here.
Oh, Helena. True. I guess I was thinking more like college stuff.
Okay. No. I get you. We can talk about that too when we get to Helena.
Sure. Okay.
I haven't discussed really about their rink. Anyways, that's all I have for Montana Grizz. I mean, it's pretty – another 3-0 weekend. They're going to have a big weekend coming up here. But moving on to MSU D2, this was an awful weekend for them. Flat out awful weekend. They're a really good team. They're nationally competitive. They're one of the top teams in the country, in my opinion. And this weekend was very sloppy. They played Utah State and Weber State. They should have been 8-0 wins plus for them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's just not what happened at all. So Friday night versus Utah State, it was a 5-3 victory. Yes, they won. Shots are 48-40. You know, you might think I'm being too harsh on MSU because they were never down in this game, but they kept it close. I feel like with the skill on this team, it should have never been close. I mean, MSU should have blown Utah State out of the water. And then, surprisingly, a 3-2 loss for MSU versus Weber State. And this one was shocking. And here's the thing, though.
What?
This is what I love about hockey, right?
Yeah.
Now, by no way am I saying MSU D3 is better than MSU D2. I just want to preface that right now. But, like, here's the thing. I'm one of those guys who looks at, oh, this team lost to this team. This team beat this team.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, by no way am I prefacing this. But, yes, I'm upset with MSU on the outcome, but I find it crazy that MSU D2 lost to Weber State, right?
Right.
And then Weber State lost to Utah Valley. But MSU D3 beat Utah Valley once this weekend. Like, isn't that just crazy? Isn't that crazy?
Oh man, well, that's like you said, the beauty of hockey. You know, you just
never know what you're gonna get.
Right. So you're saying the D3 team?
No, I said I told you I'd
practice. I think that's what you're saying.
No, that is the crazy thing about hockey, though. It's just like you could have, you know, I don't know if I think MSU was playing down, but Weber State was also having a really good game because Weber State is really not that good this year. They lost their best player due to graduation, but
yeah, well,
it's just, it's fun.
Yeah. And you could also be like, well, MSU and Weber State, they play, you know, they've been pretty competitive with each other the past couple years. So that can play a factor in it as well. You know, some teams just have certain teams that they just cannot figure out and they always play them close. So that could be the case with MSU D2 and Weber State.
Oh, for sure. No, and a great example would be when we played high school, Billings-Bozeman.
Yeah, always that's exactly close game, what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, moving on. Unfortunately for Weber, MSU, or unfortunately, Weber beat MSU. The Bobcats let an extremely weak goal that I'm sure Jordan Johnson would love to have back, especially with it being let in under 45 seconds left in the game. It's just kind of heartbreaking for them. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those last minute goals, you know, always.
Especially always when a game's tied.
Tough.
But yeah, let's move on to MSU D3.
Mm-hmm. There was three games this weekend. They were all against Utah Valley D2. Seth, you were not there, though. You were ill.
I was sick this weekend, yes. I feel much better. But yeah, I really wanted to go, especially after watching the games.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dang, I really want to be there. But yeah, no, I wasn't feeling very good. So I was unable to go.
Well, that's all right. But I bet you wanted to be there after this one. On Friday, 5-4 win, MSU D3. The team was up 4-1 at one point, then they kind of fell apart in the third period, which made it a close game. And then Landon how do you say his last name?
Okay, I'm still trying to figure out. I think it's just Portis.
Portis. Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. I think it's very confusing, but even as a teammate, I still don't, you know, I think it's Portis.
All right, so Landon Portis, he was in net for the Bobcats, played phenomenally. Shots 48-40 in favor of MSU. Boy, fantastic game that on Friday. But they kind of fell apart on Saturday night. Bobcats did 6-1. They lost. The feed was cut off this game, the video, of course, but before it was, MSU was up 1-0, and they looked to be in control of the game. So, I mean, we don't know what happened there since we, you know, the feed was cut off.
Well, talking to your roommate, Steers, who is on the team.
Yeah.
It seemed like one late goal just in the final minute of the first period just kind of deflated the team, and they found themselves letting in 6 unanswered goals. Mm. So, looked to shut down after, you know, that one goal, and then didn't go in to the second with a whole lot of momentum, and then just kind of added up as Utah Valley went.
Gotcha. Well, they were looking to bounce back on Sunday morning. Unfortunately, they come up just short, 3-2 loss, but they outshot them handedly, 46-33. Excuse me. The game was tied going into every period, but it was a late power play goal by Utah Valley that sent them 2-1 in with the weekend series. You know, if you were to take one, if you would have taken one player off that team, being Amon Anderson of Utah Valley, MSU, they most likely would have swept this team, because almost all of their scoring chances was created by this Anderson. He had 2 goals and 7 assists. 9 points on the weekend, which means he was involved with 9 of the 13 goals.
Oh, yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, 69%.
Transferred over from BYU after the BYU's team after the university quit funding them. So a lot of those players kind of merged over the Utah Valley, and that is like part of, that's where he came from. Man, okay. Is he a good player.
All right. So. Well, a tough, you know, tough weekend, but overall, I feel like the D3 team can be happy about this weekend. Tough, you know, forget about Saturday, and then a good win on Friday, and then a good game on Sunday, but just couldn't come quite out with a win. So do you have anything else you would like to say?
No. Let's move on to NA3HL scores, and let's start with our game of the week. Bozeman versus Helena Dayton. You were calling this game.
Yes, it was.
I was watching Utah Valley. The game ended, and I looked up the score, and I was like, there's no way.
Yes.
There's no way this is happening.
Yes.
And sure enough, I texted you, and you said, oh, boy, it's happening.
Oh, it's happening. Yeah, that was
tell me about Helena versus Bozeman.
Oh, I would love to. This was on Friday night. 1-0. Win for Bozeman.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's It was an upset that night. Owen House, he scored the lone goal for Bozeman. That came in about 20 seconds into the second period. And then that was it. But the main man of the night and of the weekend for the Ice Dogs, Cameron Maluski, he stopped all 50 shots, recorded a shutout in that game. And this was a big team win for Bozeman as they knocked down undefeated Helena on the season. I believe they were 8-0 going into this game. And all Ice Dogs seem to be buying into the system that Coach Mike Perkins has put in place to start the season. And they just proved that they can hang with the top teams this season. But that being said, the Bighorns played well, but didn't get fantastic scoring chances, although they did get, you know, obviously a decent amount, but even though they were generating shots all night. It wasn't all smiles for Bozeman on Saturday as Helena, they came back, 4-0 win for Helena. They were the ones who shut out the Ice Dogs this time. Bounce back game, although not much has changed in terms of game plan for Helena. I think they just got faced a hot goaltender this weekend. But the Ice Dogs, they still played well and were competitive pretty much all game, although possession was heavily in favor of Helena. Another great night, though, from Cam Maluski as he was back in net. But the penalties in the third period is really what killed the Ice Dogs. I think they got 5 or 6 in the third. And
so did the power plays, too. I landed a shorthand a goal, 2-0.
Exactly. That's right, 2-0. So that was a tough night for the special teams. But just an overview, defenseman Owen Ramsey, he really stood out to me as one of the best players on the ice this weekend, and that was for Helena, as well as Logan Powers and Andrew Deskin. They were the forwards generating a lot of the momentum, really, in Saturday especially. So that's all I got for that.
You know, I want to kind of go back a little bit. So when you were talking about buying in the Coach Perkins system.
Yeah.
Right? Agreed. I also wanted to throw in a funny story, though, is they have an assistant coach. His name is Jeff Burton. Right. And they were preparing for this weekend. This was a huge weekend for them. So coach expected a lot out of him at practice. And I think I might have texted you this. So I'm sitting in the locker room because we practice after the Ice Dogs, mm-hmm. and I'm getting dressed. I'm tying my skates, and all of a sudden I hear a loud bang on the boards, right? And I kid you not, for like 10, 15 minutes straight, the assistant coach, Coach Burton, was just absolutely ripping into these guys at practice. I mean, he was livid. And it seemed like it worked, though. Did it not?
I mean, hey, it did. I mean, it spoke to someone at least.
Oh, so, for sure. But yeah, no, like it was pretty funny because I get to practice super early. I'm an early practice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to get my bottoms on, you know, right away and sit in the locker room. And that, I like to talk, right? I like to talk in the locker room. I like to just be ready before I don't like to get ready and talk. I like to be ready and then talk. Right. To teammates, so I just get ready early, and I was the only one like the rink at the time, and I'm just sitting in the locker room tying my skates hearing this, and boy was it funny. But
oh man, sometimes it's funny when you're on the outside and watching a coach yell at his players, but when you're on, you know, on the receiving end, it's maybe not as funny.
Oh yeah, it is not, trust me. Butte Cobras versus Great Falls, Friday night, overtime winner for Great Falls. Silas Hughes scored the OT winner, which was his second goal of the night. Luke Schlesner of Butte also scored 2 goals himself. Very competitive game. These two teams, not a fan of one another. Can't wait to see them go at each other again some other weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a great matchup again. Saturday it was. It was another close affair, also ending 4-3, this time in regulation. The penalties were a problem for Butte, though. It seemed to got to their head. as the Great Falls Americans scored 3 power play goals.
Tough.
Which is huge because not a lot of teams in, you know, the frontier right now have been very good on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 power play goals in one night, huge. So, but yeah, the Americans played a really good game. Their only flaw was, you know, finishing period strong. They gave Cobras way too many chances in each period. But other than that, I mean, they lost 9-3 last weekend to Butte. And this weekend was just a great weekend for them.
Well, those two teams are very close. Like, they played each other a lot thus far. They split. Great Falls, they won 3-2 first meeting, 9-3, and then Great Falls, they won these two past games this weekend.
So just the one fluke, like 9-3 win.
9-3 win, I suppose. But yeah, I guess they were all one goal games. Other than that, and 3 wins by the Great Falls Americans. So Butte is are you getting a little worried about Butte?
I am, and I mean, I thought that they were going to be one of the best teams, and it just doesn't look like they're getting there. And I really thought that this was the year.
Yeah, well, I think they've just. It's been a strange schedule for them in season because they've lost. I don't know. It just seems like they're a home team.
They're very unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to watch more of them.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, too, is it's not just Butte. It's everybody in the frontier. Like, this is probably the most even year I have seen in the Frontier Division. Like,
you think so?
Sheridan's not a bad team this year. Sheridan actually got really good. Yellowstone Quake and Cody, Wyoming, they're not a bad team this year. The Badlands Sabres and Rapid City, they're really not a bad team this year. There's always been the two top teams, and it kind of looks like we're back at that this year with Helena and Gillette for the second year in a row. And there was kind of this middle group.
Mm-hmm.
And there was kind of a lower middle group, and then there was just that team that was god awful, who never won any games.
Right, it was very really pretty
not that play. Team who's god awful, who's not going to win any games. And there's really not a lower middle group. There might be toward the end of the year because, you know, trades do happen and that sort of thing. But
right,
this is the most even year I've seen for junior hockey, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, just looking at the standings right now, it's very pretty even, even though, you know, the top and the bottom are pretty, you know, flip-flop. But, I don't know. Especially since Bozeman beat Helena and it's got to be fun to see how it plays out, so.
Oh, for sure. Well, while we are on the topic of NA3HL, let's talk about the 3 stars of the weekend. Nate and I pretty much covered ACHA all weekend. You were on NA3, so why don't you take these ones away?
I would love to do that. 3 stars in the NA3HL this weekend. Coming in at the 3rd star, it's Silas Hughes from the Great Falls Americans. He had a good weekend this week. Very clutch. 2 goals, 3 points. He had the clutch goals scoring, including clutch goal scoring, including the old OT winner on Friday night. And he also tied it up 2-2 that same game. 2nd star, Cameron Maluski from the Bozeman Ice Dogs. Record of 1-1, but he had a 50 save shutout on Friday. On total in the weekend, 100 saves, 104 shots against, 9.962 save percentage on the weekend. However, the only thing separating him from the first star of the week, fellow goaltender Josh Koziel for the Great Falls Americans. The only reason I have him above Cameron Maluski, he had 2 tough wins against Butte, stopping 73 saves on 79 shots, 0.924 save percentage. It was a hard-fought battle for the team both games, And to come out with two wins and to be strong in net when you needed to be, Josh Koziol, congratulations on the first star of the week.
Well done. Well, for me, I do have an honorable mention. It's going to be Duncan Pereira of MSUD3. He had 3 points in three games. However, the third star is going to go to Zach Lane of Montana State, who had 3 points in two games. Zach Lane had two goals and one assist for 3 points in two games. There really wasn't a whole lot of point production except for on the Grizz side, but Grizz kind of blew out a team that wasn't really as competitive. So it was kind of tough. I had to throw in, you know, at least one MSU there. However, top two are going to be Grizz players. Spoiler alert. Second star is going to be Jackson Knutson of the Grizz. Three goals, three assists for 6 points in two games. And his line mate gets the first star, Max Toijala, Montana Grizzlies. Four goals, four assists for 8 points in two games. He had a phenomenal weekend. These are two players the MSU Bobcats are going to have to look out for here soon.
Fantastic work.
All right. Well, let's talk about the upcoming games this weekend.
Yeah. Let's.
ACHA. We have the biggest hockey weekend in Montana. It is the Cat Grizz rivalry this weekend. MSU D2 versus the Montana Grizzlies. It's the Brawl of the Wild on Ice, if you will say.
That's right.
This is going to be huge because it's not going to be a blowout like last year with MSU, I don't think. Like, the Grizz got good. They look a lot better. They look like they're working harder. They are more skilled this year. And this is going to be a phenomenal matchup. I really can't wait for this game.
It's going to be, I mean, MSU, U of M. It's going to be, where is it? Do you know? Sorry, I guess I don't know.
It's going to be a home and a home. It's going to be first Friday night at Glacier Ice Rink in Missoula.
Mm.
And then Saturday night at Haynes Pavilion in Bozeman, Montana. Expect a fuller house than you can actually have at the Glacier Ice Rink.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be about 1,200 people or so, maybe 1,300 for the game at MSU.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I'm calling it right now. Grizz, they're winning again. First game of the season in Missoula. They're whooping the Cats' butt. But then they're going to come back to Bozeman and just get absolutely shellacked. So, but it's going to be great games, both games, entertaining, high energy. I'm sure a lot of physicality, high scoring. It's got to be fun. And like you said, both teams got a lot better, especially the Grizz, to be more competitive. So it's got to be a good one.
I agree. I am going to go 2-0 for the MSU Bobcats here, not to be a homer.
Mm-hmm.
But my reasoning is that the Grizz haven't really faced a real opponent. MSU has faced real opponents like throughout this entire year.
Right.
The only opponent they haven't really faced is Eastern Washington. Mm. They blew out Boise State, but Boise State also beat UCLA. UCLA also beat MSU, so there's that. You know what I mean? I love it. But I really think here's the thing though, is I think it's going to be high scoring.
Same.
Both teams are very weak, and the scoring ability for both teams are very strong. So I'm expecting like one team to get 8 goals, one team to get 6 goals, like an 8-6 victory for one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think like a 7-2 win for the Cats in Bozeman. So 8-6 win for MSU in Glacier, 7-2 win for MSU at home, I think.
Wow, throwing the scores out there even. Should I?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I just want to say something though.
What?
We predicted the Helena Bozeman games. Did I not say Bozeman was going to win?
I don't remember,
come on, you know.
Honestly, though, I don't, but I'm sure. I believe you. I bet you totally did. Sure, you did.
Oh, you are putting. MSU D3.
They play at home. First home weekend. Colorado School of Mines. What's the talk in the locker room this week?
I have no idea. You know, Colorado School of Mines has a fantastic goalie. They only lost to University of New Mexico, 2-0. University of New Mexico is a very strong team. They're ranked, I believe it was 7th at the end of last year in the country.
Okay.
So, last year I feel like we could have just ransacked them. This year, kind of up in the air. I mean, I feel confident that we can win, but we'll see. It should be interesting. All right, well, let's move into NA3HL. We got the Great Falls Americans versus the Yellowstone Quake.
Yeah, they play twice, both at Great Falls. So that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a test for the Yellowstone Quake because they're a lower team in the Frontier. And Great Falls, they've, as we've gone to see, they've beat Bozeman Butte three out of the four times they've faced each other this season thus far. So we shall see. I think Great Falls, especially playing at home, not that that really matters a whole lot for them, but I think they should come up with 2 wins. So
that's going to be the game of the week, by the way, for juniors.
Game of the week. Great Falls should be the closest game. Well, we'll see. But Helena Bighorns, they play the Badlands Sabres 2 games. And then we just have a 1-game tilt on Saturday, I believe, in Butte. It's the Butte Cobras versus the Bozeman Ice Dogs. So those should be all good games. I think Butte, Bozeman, that should be a really good one too. If you're in town in Butte, just, I don't know, traveling or whatever, I would hit that one up. Or maybe we could go visit, make a day trip out of it, or a night trip. But anyway,
I got a 10 p.m. game on Saturday, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right, you're playing this weekend. But
yeah, because here's the fun thing, too, is with Cat Grizz, they play Friday at Glacier. We play Friday night at Haynes.
Hmm.
And then there's going to be 2 games on Saturday. So they're stacking the games up.
Yeah.
So MSU D2 is getting the game at, I think, 7:30. So barring that there's any, fights or anything, God forbid.
Yeah. I'm
hoping that the MSU D3 game will be at 10 o'clock at night. This is going to be a late one.
It might
be crazy because there's going to be a lot of people for Cat Grizz. A lot of people are going to be drinking too.
So you think they might just stick around?
What's it going to be like for that D3 game? I am fully expecting that first period to be wild. And then after that, nobody in the second period.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That would be a good guess. Yeah. But
that first period for that D3 game might actually be crazy.
You got to, throw some hits or something,
Anything else you want to add before we end this segment?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, again, thank you to Cody Jansen for getting us on World Hockey Report. This is the second episode of Montana Mondays, presented to you by World Hockey Report. Excuse me. Thank you for listening. We hope you see you in the next one, and we hope you have a great day. Have a good one.